Children, do you remember who David was? David was the man who, with a sling and a stone, killed the giant Goliath. The Lord chose David to be the next king of Israel. But the first king, King Saul, hated David. That was because everyone loved David and they didn't love Saul. And so Saul was trying to kill David, and so David had to run away into the wilderness, out where nobody lived, where there were no houses and not much food and not very many friends. But then 600 men who did love David, they came out into the wilderness to follow David because they wanted David to be their leader. Now in the story today, one of the wonderful things we can hear is that David asks the Lord questions and the Lord answers him and tells David what he should do. So you can hear the questions that David asks the Lord in this story. Hear the word of the Lord in the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 23. And they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are pillaging the threshing floors." And David asked of Yehovah, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And Yehovah said to David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." And David's men said to him, "Behold, we are fearful here in Judah. And how much more if we go to Keilah to the battle arrays of the Philistines?" And David asked of Yehovah yet again. And Yehovah answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into thy hand." And David and his men went to Keilah and fought against the Philistines, and he drove away their livestock and smote them with a great smiting. And David saved those who dwelt in Keilah. And it was when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, ran away to David to Keilah, he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told to Saul that David had come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God has abandoned him into my hand, for he is shut in by coming into a city with doors and bars." And Saul called together all the people for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul was crafting evil against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, "Present the ephod." And David said, "Yehovah, God of Israel, hearing, thy servant has heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the citizens of Keilah close me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant has heard? Yehovah, God of Israel, I pray thee, tell thy servant." And Yehovah said, "He will come down." And David said, "Will the citizens of Keilah close me up and my men in the hand of Saul?" And Yehovah said, "They will close you up." And David arose and his men, about 600 men, and they went out from Keilah and went wherever they could go. And it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, and he stopped going forth. Now we read also from the word of the Lord's second coming, first about the breastplate on the ephod with the precious stones in it. What the garments of Aaron the high priest, his ephod, robe, coat, mitre, and girdle represented is explained in the Arcana Celestia in this chapter in Exodus. There it is shown that by the ephod was represented divine truth in its ultimate. By the precious stones on it were represented truths transparent from good. By the 12 precious stones are meant all ultimate truths, transparent from the good of love in their order. By the 12 tribes of Israel are meant all things of the church, And by the breastplate is meant divine truth from divine good. And by the precious stones called the Urim and Thummim is meant the shining forth in ultimates of divine truth from divine good. For Urim is a shining fire, and Thummim is brilliancy in the angelic language and integrity or wholeness in the Hebrew. It is also shown that answers were given by the variations of the light and at the same time by tacit perception or by a living voice. From this it is evident that these precious stones signified truths from good in the ultimate sense of the word, and answers from heaven are not given by any other means, because in that sense the divine proceeding is in its fullness. We also read about how the Lord shows us what is true. First, one must learn the doctrinal things of the church, and then the word must be examined to see whether they are true. For they are not true because the heads of the church have said so and their followers confirm it. This shows that the word must be searched, and there it must be seen whether the doctrinal things are true. When this is done from the affection of truth, then a man is enlightened by the Lord so as to perceive without knowing whence what is true, and he is confirmed or strengthened in it in accordance with the good in which he is. Here end our lessons. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.